Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well.
Good, good. Plenty to talk about, as ever. But let's start, KB, from a reaction from an interview that we did a couple of weeks ago. There's been an article written with some of the quotes from yourself in this article. This was all about a number of youth team footballers at Chelsea claiming they were racially abused by their own coaches. And you yourself now have been accused of your comments being truly shameful. I wonder if you can get your reaction to this piece.
Well, I think that's the trouble today, isn't it? If you dare to raise a question on something that somebody else has said or stated, you're the person, you're the guilty party. I think I raised perfectly reasonable questions, and none of them were answered. Now, I think this story about the, I believe, was released by a lawyer called Dino Nocivelli. And I looked him up on his website. He's just a selling job on who he is and what he is. He looks quite a handsome young man, big smile on his face. You can contact Dino with his various numbers. But they are firm of lawyers. So what I was curious about is when he turns around and says that this is not about money, this is about the fans need, these kids rather, or were kids, need closure. Well, I'll tell you, it's not about money. Does that mean that Dino is acting pro bono? That means acting without payment for doing this representation in a spirit of support for these middle-aged men? Or is it about money? Partly, because these firms are charging fees. Maybe a no-win, no-fee basis, whereas if you do win, you get double your lawyer's fees. We don't know, but I think Dino should answer that, doesn't she? Now let's move on to criticism. This is shameful. What I actually said was, all this happened 30-odd years ago, at least, if indeed it did happen, because of course there are only allegations at the moment. Why didn't it come out earlier? Now, how can you investigate an alleged crime or an alleged behaviour if you're not told about it? And the excuse that says, well, you know, this guy was very strong and powerful and knew it wouldn't get anywhere, and blah, 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 is rather weak, isn't it? If you have a problem, you either do something about it, or you get on with it, get over it. So why has this come out so late? And there is no adequate answer to that question. Mr. Dino, my new mate Dino, has said that they want closure. That's one of those fashionable terms today. When I was a kid, closure meant you shut the door. Hey, we want closure. How does that mean? And how do they get closure? And what they're going to do after they've got closure for the rest of their lives. Now, of course, there are four people making allegations. We don't know who they are. They don't want to reveal their identities. Might even show their faces. So how can you investigate their claims, let alone apologise for alleged actions? It's stupid. And I think it doesn't do their case any good, when people just attack the attacker. I've been doing by raising personally reasonable questions. Why didn't they do something about it when it happened? Why didn't they tell their parents? Why didn't they ask their teacher for advice? Why didn't they just get out and leave? Now, I gather two of the guys, from the inquiries I've made, didn't make the grade at Chelsea, wanted to do something else. So what have they done with their lives since? What are they doing now? And how is it affecting them? Reasonable questions. And there's no answer to reasonable questions, but just abusing the questioner. Because if this matter proceeds, then those questions will have to be asked and answered. Evidence will have to be produced. And someone will have to decide on the balance of probabilities. But it's interesting to read in these. Apparently the police had a 7-month investigation into these matters at Chelsea's instigation. And after 7 months, the police decided not to proceed further. So, you come back to my question last week. What allegedly happened? What evidence do you have? And why didn't you make a fuss earlier? But more importantly and interestingly, why suddenly I'm making a fuss now? For the lawyer. Interesting to know how that relationship was established and developed. Now I see a guy called Ousley, Herman Ousley, that jumped on the bandwagon. Now I've checked up on Baron Ousley. And as far as I can see from Wikipedia, actually hadn't done anything and achieved anything in the real world. Apparently he started in local government and worked there for 30 years. I started in local government. Took me just 2 years to realise what it was like and got out into the real world and did a real job. But Mr. Ousley, he's run public authorities, local councils, is an advisor and a reviewer, expertise in equality and diversity, whatever that means, chairperson of several charitable organisations, patron of dozens of organisations, the forefront of challenging institutional relationships. Of course, he now leads the Kick It Out. But what has Kick It Out done in this thing? Have they done any investigations? Have they a report to date they can produce? Which gives Baron Ousley the right to criticise me rather than seeking answers to the questions. And let's face it, racism goes both ways. Anybody who's lived in the Caribbean as I did, worked in the Caribbean and lived there in the Caribbean for 4 years, with no racism on the other foot. I think some of the nicer words I would use, we won't put on radio, won't record it. You know what I mean?
KB, I mean, do you have any sympathy for what they were, children that were involved at the time? They were, you know, young kids. Do you have any sympathy?
What age were they?
I mean, there were certainly teenagers. There were certainly teenagers that were involved.
And they weren't children?
Well, they were under 18, so you could still probably class them as children.
I doubt it. They were teenagers.
But do you have any sympathy for them? Because, you know, like you say, you know, why didn't they say anything at the time? But maybe they were scared. Maybe they didn't want. Maybe they thought they would lose their job. They would lose their chance to be a professional footballer if they piped up and said anything about it to anybody.
Well, we'll never know. The thing is, bullies only flourish if the victim don't take them on. And I had evidence of. And I had evidence when I was a young teenager of unsatisfactory behaviour, and I challenged it. At 14 to 16, you can't be scared. I gather the two people being named didn't make it anyway. So maybe they didn't make it because they weren't good enough. But we won't know until there's an inquiry. We won't know until they're more specific. So the onus is on them. They're making the complaints. It's up to them to start providing information, evidence and support.
I mean, from reading this article and
the sticking,
yeah,
11 patrons and consultancies and everything else, neither getting involved seriously, or sitting in the background. And Dino, my mate Dino, nice smile, he should be organising whatever he's, obviously he's organising, get on with it, and bring it out of the open. I think Chelsea would welcome the information. You can't do anything if you don't know anything. You can't apologise for something that hadn't been proved.
Do you feel at all that...
I apologise to four guys who received their backsides.
KB, do you feel at all maybe at least a sense of responsibility that this occurred while you were in charge of Chelsea?
Well, how can you if you don't know about it? You can't put a wrong right, an alleged wrong right, if you don't know there is an alleged wrong taking place. As I said before, how are you supposed to supervise? How are you supposed to know? I mean, they were all scattered all over the place. When did the shouting take place? When did the name taking place? How can you be responsible for something of which you have no knowledge? Oh, and one more thing before we close on this subject, Darren. You may recall the incident a few years ago in Liverpool jail. A man called David Jones was a social worker at the jail when he and a number of his co-workers were accused by a few inmates of sexual harassment, sexual abuse. And it took a long time to be resolved, but it was finally investigated. They discovered that in fact it was a total scam and a plan by the inmates to get money off of the jail authorities. Meanwhile, Jones was totally innocent. Meanwhile, he lost his job at Southampton as a manager, and his career sort of went downhill after that. When I was chairman of Leeds, we played Sheffield Wednesday, where he was manager, at Hillsborough. And throughout the game, he was taunted non-stop by the scum element of the Leeds fans, who used all kinds of words on him, including paedophile. The game was over. I was so ashamed. First of all, I apologised to him in the programme, the next home programme, and slaughtered the scum that had chanted abuse at him. Then I wrote him a personal letter to apologise on behalf of all the decent Leeds fans and Leeds people for the behaviour towards him, which he was appreciative. So I think the point we've got to make is that, all right, to take any accusation seriously and investigate them, but must ask the full questions. Why so long? What was it? How has it affected his subsequent life? And we, in detail, not in platitudes. And I think it's a terrible day for England if someone like me raises those questions and they'd be accused of shameful and not doing this, not doing that, and demanding I apologise whole. And I'm going to say, for what? I raised a question. The easiest way is to answer the question. Solve the problem.
Okay, let's move on to other subjects. There's quite a bit to get off.
Let's move on, but let's finally sum up the saying.
Yeah.
There's no saying put up or shut up. And that's the situation here. And before we go, they should ask Paul Elliott, black former centre-back for Chelsea, great player, great man. He used to call me Honky, but I didn't take exception to it. He's been prominent in racism, the fight for it. People should perhaps interview Paul, because racism not acceptable in any form.
Well, just to turning our attention just to another of the clubs, Leeds. Lots going on that's been discussed recently, but also England are playing at Elland Road tonight. First game they've had away from Wembley for quite a while. A sellout at Elland Road, and personally, it's nice to see the England team out on tour.
Yeah, I agree, and it's great that I gather it's a sellout at Elland Road. It means a lot of people from the north can visit the game without the cost of going all the way down to London to get to Wembley and back. But also, I'm not sure how many tickets you sell in London or Costa Rica in a 90,000 capacity stadium. So it's not a triple win. But I'm not sure about taking it on the road. It was tried for a short time while Wembley was being built. But all it basically meant was Aston Villa or Old Trafford. They really went up to Newcastle or across to Liverpool. But the problem is, you're finding, like during the old semi-finals, which used to be in the old days, you're finding a venue which is near to or between the participants to minimise travelling inconvenience. And that reduces you basically to Old Trafford and Aston Villa in Birmingham.
Back.
No, England home is Wembley. It's a big message.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting night, no doubt about that. Back to Chelsea, KB, and there's been more news coming out about Roman Abramovich this week. He's shelved his plans for the Stamford Bridge redevelopment and the new stadium. This is all down to renewing his visa. Apparently, he's withdrawn his UK visa application. This really does leave Chelsea somewhat up in the air.
Well, I think the problem here, the uncertainty being created by the Home Office, as usual, civil servants. Somebody just sat on their hands and done nothing instead of dealing with the matter. I don't know that Mr. Abramovich has been proved of any wrongdoing, and he has quite rightly exercised his options and now become an Israeli. And bought a house in Tel Aviv. Apparently going to be a resident there. And as a Israeli citizen, he has an EC a visa and can travel anywhere in Europe. Now there are mutterings again that Mr. Abramovich could be detained and deported. I don't think he's prepared to risk that ignominy, and I think it's the British Civil Service, the Home Office. The one who made a complete bloody mess of Windrush. They're the ones handling this. And somebody in the Cabinet should be asking for a full explanation and then giving one. After all, if you're going to spend £1 billion on a construction project, you're not even going to be allowed in to see it, see how it's getting on. Hardly a reasonable situation, is it? And £1 billion over 4 years? How many jobs would that create? How much contribution to GMP? The money that Chelsea would have to spend, which has now been put on hold, is also considerable. I have been made aware of 3 people who are being paid compensation for their properties far in excess of their true worth. On Friday, and now on Monday, they're not. One large payment was going to a very worthy charitable institution. They're stopped dead in the water. But I don't think it's Mr. Abramovich's position to be running around now. I think it's the Home Office's position to explain what they've done and why they're doing it, and how it's going to proceed in future. Although Mr. Abramovich has now become an Israeli citizen, he may have decided it for them. So now it's simply a question of, can he come into England and visit his various investments, which there are many, other than Chelsea, and which employ a great deal of people. Or great number of people, create a great deal of jobs, increase the economy. They're probably the same civil servants making a cock up with the Irish border and other situations involving Brexit.
Well, let's move on to Brexit. Shall we, KB? Because it continues to be a bone of contention. Labour apparently now in a bit of a row over their handling of Brexit. Jeremy Corbyn yesterday and his front bench demanding a new single market deal for the UK with full access to the EU. So pretty much what we had before.
Pretty much what we got now. No, the thing is the fault lies with the government, which of course is much weaker now because of the disastrous general election they held, and you've got the Northern Irish DUP holding the balance of power. But the fact of the matter is, we are being bombarded with threats and this and that and the other by Europe, and we are not responding to it. We should be telling them to get stuffed. I mean, this Galileo project, which we funded, or majority funded, and an awful lot of British technologies in it, then they're saying we can't have access to it. Right, what we should do immediately, stop the work today. Stop the checks, that's it. And start getting on with their own. And the Euratom. An Interpol. Okay, fair enough. Because we are the biggest contributors to all those organisations. the Europeans take more than they give. What we have to do is stop the taking. And the $40 billion divorce payment, we should say, well, no, you're not getting it. So you better sit down and start doing your budgets without our contribution. Because you're not getting a penny after the 19th of March next year. So the old English saying, put that in your pipe and smoke it. They're bullies. They're being attacked now by their own members. Italy are querying the EC. Greece is in a total mess. Spain has all sorts of problems. Mr. Macron, well, President Macron, I think he's not doing a bad job trying to sort out the ridiculous union system, the employment system in France. And there are second questions being asked in Germany itself. We're beginning to realise that it's not as easy as Mr. Garnier says it is. Garnier says it is the last time Mr. Garnier did a proper job in the real world. Or Mr. Schultz. Or Mr. Juncker. No. We should get up from the table and walk out and leave them. All right, we said no deal is better than a bad deal. Right, no deal. We keep being told, I mean, that idiot in that revenue who came out and told we're going to cost us $20 billion a year, had their calculations. Not the same person trying to calculate my affairs with disastrous results for them. And I read that one of the other complaints HMRC have is that they said that they lost 2,000 of their 10,000 staff since Brexit. But if it's the 2,000 least able, 2,000 least competent, well, maybe we've got a better HMRC, but less cost. Mrs. May has now got to put up or shut up. She had the support. She got the support of the majority. And now it's about time she took action against those who are trying to defy the will of the people for their own selfish reasons, or for reasons which have not been explained. My message is, let's get on with it. We are a great country, still. And Europe needs us more than we need them. It's interesting to see that Lady Wilson, who died yesterday, she fell out with her husband years and years ago when he took us into the EEC and she opposed it. Probably she should have been Prime Minister instead of Harold. But still they are. Had a good life and wish a peaceful settlement. Rest.
Well, KB, as ever, always a pleasure, and we'll catch up with you around the same time next week.
Well, that should put the cat among few pigeons.